Hi everyone, Shellgame here, editor of today's episode. Our wonderful host, Amelia Blank, had some sound issues it seems, and as such, there were several points in the audio file where the sound glitches and cuts out. I did my best to sync up the tracks and excise whatever issues I could, but there were a few places that just couldn't be fixed, as well as a few transitions that are a bit abrupt. There are a couple of noticeable pops also, but it really shouldn't be too bad. Also, at the end, Amelia mentions wanting to read names of the $10 Patreon supporters, but alas, no names are given. So at this time, I would like to extend a warm thanks to contributors Grass Dragon and Pax Morporkia for their generosity. The contributions help cover hosting costs and also aid readers in getting better audio equipment, so you can hear our brisk witticism all the better. So join the ranks of Grass Dragon and Pax Morporkia, or the stellar KGB operative who furnished the podcast with new mics. Just think, you can be the one to help Birdman get a better microphone. Anyway, thanks a whole lot. And now, on to Monster Girls Unlimited.
Hello, welcome to Extra Credit, the ghoulies of podcasts. The snakes in the ball pit tonight are Ganymede.
You're pretty intellectual for a sylph, aren't ya?
Yeah. Shellgame?
Lilith thinks that because Luca clone's been sleeping in the castle, he might have stopped taking Monster Girls seriously and needs a reminder of what they are. She does this by gobbling up his penis with her tail.
Just smashing that glass ceiling.
Dr. A.
Oh, woe is me, she cried out dramatically, hand to her ample and bouncing with every exaggerated movement, chest.
Birdman.
She drew a finger up her thigh all the way to her lips. Shiro suppressed the urge of arousal from that simple sight and was thankful that his aura of wind mana had protected him.
And Amelia Blank. Oh my god! Masters at oral sex! Non-stop lust! Always hungry for sex! Now this is great! I would gladly go to Mushroom Kingdom and awaken a sleeping piranha plant right away! I'm in love! Put me in your mouth, piranha plant!
Content warning, gore!
Hi, Extra Credit.
Hello, Amelia.
Hi.
Hello.
So, you guys feeling sexy?
Yeah.
Kinda.
Monstrously so.
Oh, really? I have been sweating so much in this heat. I am glistening with sex.
Good. Unrelated to anything sexy, we're going to be talking about Monster Girls.
The sweat just receded into my body.
Still feeling sexy.
I think that's something you have to personally deal with, Shellgame. You're going to look yourself in the mirror. We're going to Monster Girls Unlimited Forum, or whatever it is, whatever it's called, I don't care. So it's a talk made by Mythos Santa, Ganymede, and myself.
Nice.
It's a bit of a mess, but what do you expect from something that I am involved in?
I also want to chip in and say I did very, very little for this talk. Credit rightfully should, I think, mostly go to Mythos Santa and Amelia Blank. Thank you so very much. Also, while assembling this doc, did you happen to discover why this website is unlimited? Like, were there limits before that are being transcended now?
It's unlimited. They've gone past their pesky human conscience.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's kind of like transhumanism, Monster Girl 4.
Yeah, it's exactly like transhumanism, except you're fucking like Jinx from Pokemon. Okay, let's start with this first post. Called At This Rate Might As Well Hold Hands With a Virtual Girl.
Oh boy.
I'm going to the website for some reason. So, Birdman, do you want to be Black Shadow 211?
Yes. I recently learned about an augmented reality game called Pokemon Go. With all the crazy news about it, it was unavoidable and subsequently ingress as well on Wikipedia. Link. Now then, like it say on this link, Japan gonna have to game as well. What's been bothering me is that real soon we might end up taking a walk with our virtual waifu. If Japan get the idea to make an augmented virtual reality visual novel game, we might have more than Pokemon on the street.
Yeah, if the country of Japan just decides to make a game.
Black Shadow 211, I think, is a bit naive to think that that doesn't already exist.
Hey, Black Shadow 211.
I have a brand new idea.
Who's your favorite monster girl?
The big titties one.
It's under your gender there.
I've just remembered my favorite monster girl is Lilim.
Well, hey, Black Shadow 211, when did you join Monster Girl Unlimited?
Oh.
'03, '04, 2012, past midnight. After a hard day.
Nearly 12:30 in the morning.
Where I gave up.
In it for the long haul.
Hi, I'm Lucifeller. You might know me because I'm a staff member on this website. And my favorite monster girls are Imp, Behemoth, and Irubite from MGQ. And I live in Italy, and I am a man. And considering how poisoned male-female relationships are becoming thanks to certain progressives, I'd say that'd be a welcome change for men. I say carry on.
And then you end that with a whistling.
Oh, yeah, I have a whistling smiley. That probably sounds horrible for our listeners.
Poisoned? Did something happen to your relationship? Sure, there are lots of divorce and stuff, but I don't think it's that bad.
If you somehow managed to miss all the insanity caused by social justice and radical feminism, count yourself blessed and move on. All I know is that men are being actively discouraged from bothering with at all with 3D girls. We're checking a lot of boxes here.
Maybe it's because you keep calling them 3D girls.
My Sonic 3D girls won't love me because it's a minefield not worth navigating. And when the marriage goes south, they're the only ones who take it up the ass. 2D girls, at least, will never put you through that bullshit.
Yeah, I was saying, I can't wait for 4D girls. That'll be incredible.
2D girls will never put you through having sex with them.
We're girls from beyond time. Shell Game takes Chance Bands.
Chance Bands, what's your avatar?
My avatar is a broken image.
Good.
And in case anybody's wondering, I am from San Marcos, Texas. I'm male. My personal title is a Texan. And my favorite monster girls are dragons of any kind.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Show me that dragon heart.
Yeah. Let me get up in that Komodo dragon.
I, for one, welcome the new VR waifu overlords. Will definitely be easier. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if Japan explores the route.
I like how you're Texan, but you say I. You're a fuck.
I.
Like you're a fucking old-timey British sailor.
Yeah.
I'll take a boomerang flash here. I'm also staff. I have 1,216 posts.
Okay.
And I'm from Praxis, and my favorite girls are the cute ones. Aww. And I'm responding to Chance Vance. They are way ahead of you on that, apparently. Think VR waifu. Apparently that's a proper noun, so I guess there's already a game called VR waifu.
I'm sure there is.
Think VR waifu with a software control on a hole. It's all one word.
No, that's product. It's basically even less of a fleshlight.
Yeah, that's like a lady hole.
I think it's like an
kind of
egg.
Oh.
I think it's an egg that you fuck.
Oh, controlled auto hole being marketed already. I'd swear Geekzine made it up, but nope, they aren't mobile yet due to software needs. Thank Christ. But that is a matter of time.
Soon my army of Onaholes shall conquer the virtual world.
They called me mad when I combined an Onahole with a man.
This seems more like Digimon territory.
Eat my Onahole Wrath 3Ds.
By the time you're sitting next to a window in a pokeball for elderly,
What?
A cute virtual girl might be petting you through your last moments.
Wow.
No, that's a dark cyberpunk future.
Yeah.
Old geezers like me and Lucifer might not live to see it, though, chungy face.
I'm gonna die. It's true.
No, JK.
Oh yeah, we're immortal. Transhumanism all the way.
But if VR goes the way of Sword Art Online...
Oh, yeah. So basically if VR becomes bad...
The benchmark for quality is Sword Art Online.
If
that scenario above isn't beyond imagining.
If only my monster-themed virtual computer porn were more like anime...
If only.
If you still have a body, or are a brain in a jar, is anyone's guess, though.
I thought we were going to be in a Pokeball.
You're a brain in a Pokeball.
Yeah.
Oh,
when okay. You throw it, it's just on the ground. And Black Shadow 211, let's just say that while it isn't completely yet, things aren't looking up with the sexist hate tweets made by Rad Femmes getting retweeted. I dare Dito Facebook. I had a stroke. So on crap posts getting liked and so on. Now,
this is a weird time to be masturbating while writing the posts. But it's gone downhill in that one-handed way.
I've learned to type with one hand. Now, I do happen to have several new female colleagues.
Fleeting though they may be.
I lured them into my home. Of which a former supermodel by random chance.
No, I'm pretty sure she did that on purpose. I think that's probably a life she chose for herself.
Claudia Schiffer joined my enemy. Who don't care for that sort of thing. Sorry, I'm sweating Cheeto dust in my eye. Yeah, in general, there's not much to be happy about in M-F relationships. Or M-M. F-F. Question mark, dash question mark.
I think that one's just a face.
I identify as a question mark. Or whatever other kind of relationship. If you want underlying love, get a dachshund puppy and a VR waifu.
And never confuse the two.
I was like, could the dachshund puppy be my waifu?
Yes.
2-3-D.
Until the cops show up, I guess.
Dr. A, you're timid dark spy.
Okay.
Oh, we're still... Okay.
Oh, God, you're a cat whisperer.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so yeah, I'm Timmy Dark Spy. Yep, America here is getting pretty hard in terms of relationships and commitment. Might be exaggerating, but divorce rates...
Might be
exaggerating, but divorce rates are through the roof. Hitting up to 40%, and that was before the rise of third wave feminism.
No, it wasn't. Where do you get your statistics, Timid Darkspy?
From monstergirlunlimited.net.
Well, no, he preempted it with might be exaggerating, so he can say anything.
Oh, fair.
Leeching off every type of media from gaming...
Oh, it's a leech, so you must like it.
...to social.
The only two types of media.
Almost everyone here are on pins and needles in terms of establishing a relationship.
What a funny comma.
That's a great comma.
I think at this rate, we'll easily be swayed by virtual wives... and husbands, since they don't come equipped with unnecessary drama. I mean, unless you like that.
Only necessary drama.
So we're all going to be living in Total Recall? Is that the future that you want?
Hey, Timmy Dark Spy, what's your footer?
I was about to say that. Live as if you were to die tomorrow, and learn as if you were to live forever.
You're doing it. Good job.
Cry a lot and don't commit to anything.
I need to learn social skills. I'm gonna live forever. I'll figure that out.
Why is there a spoiler?
Oh, and I have a spoiler. I have a spoiler, everyone. You want to hear this? You want to hear this good shit?
Your secret's safe with us.
Would you kindly?
Oh no, you spoiled a game from a decade ago.
No.
Guys, BioShock was deep. I don't think you fully understood.
Yeah, like some dude says do things and it turns out he's evil. It's like, oh no, I thought you were good. And also Irish.
Oh, I just meant that it's underwater.
I liked it.
Thank you.
Someone's insisting that because feminism, there's less births. It's the stupidest thing. So let's move on to a different topic here.
You don't have to put it in, but at the end of that thread we were just on, Girls Succubus posts a post I can't work out what it means.
What does it say?
But I think it's pretty good. It says, small question. Why exactly does a threat about virtual girls, which is in general a thing I would like, out of its way to insult me?
That's a very good small question.
Well, shut me the fuck up. There is an actual girl on this
site. Small question.
Digital girls don't want to jerk me off.
Favorite monster girls, well, most.
I'm not picky.
We're going to go to a post that I guess Girls Succubus started called Do You Sometimes Picture Real People as Monster Girls? Which is horrible. Birdman, why don't you go ahead and...
Sure. I think I should change the voice, though.
I have to admit I do. When I'm sitting somewhere, not really doing anything, seeing some attractive women, I sometimes imagine what they would look like as harpies, Skylars, or Lamia. What about you?
Girl Succubus right now is really living up to her title of Painbringer.
Yeah.
Painbringer.
My name is Blind Eyes. My avatar is a Jirachi with, I don't know, a witch's hat? I don't really, but I do come up with little music videos involving monster girls when I listen to music sometimes. Does that count?
I mean, I guess...
Can I read Lucifer?
Excuse me, I'm Lucifer.
Do you want to read it?
Oh, no, you can go for it. I was Lucifer in the other thread. It's
okay, so my name is Lucifer. Only radical feminists as harpies, the mythological variety, mind you.
what's the emoticon at the end?
It's a prinny from Disgaea.
It's like a bird wearing a fanny pack.
Nope. Yeah, it's a prinny.
It's a prinny.
Yeah.
Dude!
I don't know what that is.
You're welcome, two people.
Thank you.
Well, two of the people are in this recording, I guess.
That's who I meant.
It was an explosive reference.
Oh, God.
I'm Triforce Link 616, so I guess I'm the Link from the Marvel regular universe. I do not think that even the mythological harpies appreciate being compared to those wannabe activists, mind you. Oh. And I'm a smiley who is rolling around like a people. They accomplish something even if that something involves just tormenting the gods' detractors. Radical feminists just whine and whine some more when they get laughed
Wait,
at.
But if they don't accomplish anything, then why do they affect the relationships that these people are in?
They're both all controlling and incredibly incompetent.
I guess I'm being unfair. I mean, Triforce Link 616, it doesn't discriminate, because when asked favorite monster girls, I mean, he couldn't pick one.
I don't have favorites.
Yeah. Way to
My
go.
My personal title is the hero of Hyrule, Link.
Quote unquote.
I'll say, where are they located?
Look, the Sacred Realm. Ganondorf is a sore loser and dragged me with
Why
him.
Is the character field for that, or character limit for that field so enormous? You shouldn't have been able to type all that for location.
Hi, I'm Otaku Evangelist, and I'm pretty sure I just misspelled Evangelion when making my account. Nice. You can call me by my personal title, Bozo's Rival, Evan Karasu. My favorite monster girls are Demon, Phantom, and Shoggoth, and I just came here to say, you are not alone, brother!
Wasn't Girl Succubus a girl?
It's funny you mentioned that. Sister, actually, and I just asked a question for fun, so could we stop insulting people here? Thank you.
Girl Succubus is the best troll. Everything is an insult.
I think they were talking about the feminism.
Yeah, no, no.
I feel stupid. Please forgive me.
What does your signature say?
My signature says, I have monster girls. Your argument is invalid. Invalid, sorry.
I'm so sorry. Okay with the first. Oh, sorry, I opened the spoiler for that.
Maybe, what's my spoiler? This is Desiree Anahi, my human demon waifu, who is a 20% demon and 80% breasts.
With nipples that point in the strangest direction.
She's one of those monk girls.
They're raised up towards the heaven to tremble in fear of the godlike robots that will destroy us all.
And they're either really shiny or they're leaking.
Wait, is there a picture? Oh.
Nope.
Oh.
They're just...
Oh, God.
It's turtle wax.
Sorry. Does her body have arms that hold her boobs?
I think that's too much boob for there to be other body parts.
I see legs. I don't see arms.
Mm-mm. That's an optical illusion.
Look closely. You can see two waifus. But for another one, it's one hourglass.
All right. I think we've held back the poetry beast for too long.
Hang on. Let me see if the other posts down here are.
Oh, okay. Oh, fuck.
It's one guy who's saying he's his real life crushes he's imagined as monster girls.
Mm-hmm.
Could you read Duroko's title?
Oh, this is Duroko.
Just read Duroko's whole post.
Okay, I'm Duroko. I joined in 2013. I only have 35 posts. My title is Monster Girl Lover with No Known Weaknesses.
OP, please nerf.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Cyclopses and Manticores. Also like Oni. There's a few girls whom I have had crushes on in real life that I imagined as MGs. One that I pictured as a Hermesque chick. A couple as succubi.
That monster known as Girl.
A Nephilim. A Reverent. And one as some kind of venomous demon with needles for fingers.
What the fuck?
It came to me in a dream. And I don't mean any disrespect by any of these. My mind just works that way.
Oh.
It's something I have to battle with every day. And I have numerous OC monster girls with personalities based on my female friends.
In the most respectful way possible, I think of you as some kind of venomous demon with needles for fingers.
Yeah. Oh my god, Duroko! That's so sweet!
I'm a bleeding heart.
Really, make my heart bleed. I fantasize about Paula Deen cutting my heart out and cooking it in front of me.
Millie, where's this coming from?
What?
It's a F-plus reference.
Oh. Well, those always go over so well on this show.
Yeah, see, that was from the Imagine Your Fave episodes. Poetry.
Okay, let's do poetry.
Poetry.
Shogame, why don't you read this first poem?
Yeah, you mean this beautiful poem about her spring?
Yes.
Yeah.
Smell a metaphor.
Mm-hmm. I've been titled, Hi, I'm Cyrus Kane. I'm a resident madman.
Isn't Cyrus Kane a Jean-Claude Van Damme character?
Well... It could be. My location is somewhere, everywhere, nowhere, and anywhere.
No, can't you see the avatar? It's a Gaia Online character.
Anyway, this is my poem entitled, Her Spring. As winter snow melts, Maiden watched her hero go. Leaving for duty, she will never admit the truth that she loves him totally. Under flower blooms arrives winter hair lilum, seducing maidens to their carnal desires to fill mamono legions.
Hmm?
So our heroine, by lilum's sweet touch, felt her inner strength, desire for motherhood, denied love for her hero. So with her caress, the lilum corrupt maiden, orgasmic magic, all came together for her. She blooms like a hibiscus.
If you know what I mean.
She is waiting now for the unwitting hero in her dungeon deep. She's mother of his monsters. Broken Tsundere. Echidna. Edit. Edit.
Exterminate.
Edit. I do give permission for this to be used in the ebook collection.
Oh boy, the illustrious ebook collection.
I know you all want it, so I'm just saying right now you can have it.
What rhyme scheme was that?
were there rhymes?
Free verse. It was free verse.
A, B, C, D, E.
It was a 2D rhyme.
Okay. It's too perfect for my 3D eyes to comprehend.
So wait, is the monster girl is an echidna?
No. You see, I creatively exchanged the lowercase Lilum for, you know, the monster type, with the uppercase Lilum, the name of the monster I was truly discussing, because really, it's about a broken Tsundere. Do you see now? Do you
like
see?
Like all romantic poetry, it references an anime trope.
I think Wordsworth used that a lot.
Also, what's your sig? Cyrus, can I recognize the first line of your sig, but maybe you could give me the whole thing, see if it comes together.
Oh. All right, well, let me start from the beginning. That which is not dead can eternal lie, and in strange aeons, Kenkokuros could even turn death in a mamono.
Okay.
Someone has an epitaph all ready to go.
I will die until my broken Tsundere returns.
I'll say, Miss Blank, can I read the next poem in the doc?
I'm sure.
No.
Sure, you're good. Dr. A, you're Fat Man 2005?
Oh, I'm not Fat Man 2005. I'm the Fat Man 2005. Thank you very much. Okay.
Oh my god.
I read about someone asking about Monster Girls having a Santa, so I thought up this hope you like it because I plan to do more later. Would like all the input you have about this. Okay, I'm going to tell you guys a very good story. It's called The Night Before Fuckmas by me. 'Twas the night before Fuckmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring. Not even a large mouse.
Good edit.
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hope that Saint Nicoletta would soon be there.
Why don't you just call her Nicola?
Well, that's Tesla.
Yeah.
The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of wild sex scenes danced in their heads.
How old are these children?
Executive decision. No, they did not. They are children.
And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out of the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter.
So this isn't really your poem.
Yeah, for the past four lines it's just been the night before Christmas.
Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to the objects below. When, what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight horny centaurs here.
Ugh. How do you fuck up the rhythm of The Night Before Christmas so bad?
Arousal?
Yeah, that's a shortcut.
I guess. With a little sexy driver, so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles, her coursers they came, and she whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen.
Come on! How do you not have fun with this part?
Why didn't you just...
Even the dog is angry.
They've come.
The very angry doggo. On Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash all away. now dash away, dash away, dash all away. Yeah.
Dash away.
No! Go again!
I'm sorry.
Wrong!
Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, you gotta end with all.
Yes!
It's fine. It's great. It's really good. Keep going.
Also, wait, now they're leaving?
Yeah.
Okay.
They just wanted to show up and be all horny, strike some poses.
Tourism!
Okay, sorry, let me reread the sentence. I now see what I went to. Now, dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky.
What?
Ew.
So it's October?
I guess.
What? Where are you getting?
What's like dry leaves?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Wait, no, are there dry leaves or?
You only get those in October.
I mean, I guess they'd be on the ground in winter.
Yeah, I think that's actually from.
Yeah.
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 You know, like 90% of this poem.
You know, it's a parody. They're allowed to,
parody,
take the parts that they like.
Parodies steal.
Aren't known for having to come up with their own material. It's 95% of just reciting the lines from whatever you're parroting.
That's what makes it funny.
You misunderstand. It's a parody.
He changed Christmas for fuckmas, and he was like, done. Yeah. That's all I need to make this fly. Now copy and paste. Yeah.
Except he didn't even, because he called Donner Donder.
So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys and St. Nicola too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicola came in with a bound. She was dressed in all in fur from her head to her foot.
So is she in a fur suit? Or is she...
Yeah,
or...
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. We...
Just like in the original poem.
That makes staying up and waiting for Santa a lot creepier.
Yeah. Just waiting near the chimney place and some giant dude in a reindeer fur suit just comes down.
Centaur.
It's like he's got a big blank smile on his mascot head.
And her clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys she had flung on her back, and she looked like a peddler just opening her pack. Her eyes, how they glows, how her dimples, how merry. Her cheeks were like roses, her nose like a cherry. Her droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and her skin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe she held tight in her teeth, and the smoke encircled her head like a wreath.
So, remember that she's, like, covered in ashes and is smoking a pipe.
But she's got boobs!
But yeah, this is about to heat up those cold winter nights. She had a broad face and two... big boobs so jolly.
I'm the most chipper of boobs.
Broads.
Okay, that shook when she laughed like a bowl full of jelly. She was skinny and sexy, a right jolly older lilum.
Doesn't work.
And I got a boner when I saw her, in spite of my wife the lilum.
Oh, works that even really less. Doesn't work. Yeah.
Could you read those two again?
Lilum with Lilum.
Just that.
I say, what do you mean I can't rhyme Lilum with Lilum? You can't rhyme the same word?
It's a.
How else are you going to rhyme orange?
It's a vanilla ice rhyme.
A wink of her eye and a twist of her head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. She spoke not a word but went straight to her work and filled all the stocking. Then turned with a jerk.
Oh, the author was there.
She laid a finger aside of her nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney she rose. She sprang to her sleigh to give her team a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard her exclaim as she drove out of sight, Merry fuckmas to all, and to all a good night.
Boo.
Okay,
I don't understand.
So the biggest difference was centaurs and the guy got a boner. Like,
yeah.
Well, And
she didn't do anything.
I'm aware of dudes that get boners from regular Santa Claus. I don't think this adaption was necessary.
I resent you saying she didn't do anything when she clearly smoked a pipe and jiggled at a man.
Yeah, she came down the chimney, smoked, and she's like, hey, look at these. Okay, now I'm going to do myself.
And had a broad face.
Look at my lilum tits.
In spite of my wife, Lilim is it the really best is. Line.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Man.
Actually, do you mind if I read that couplet again? I just, it really, God. The,
yeah,
the syllables are all over the place. She was sexy and skinny, a right jolly older Lilim, and I got a boner when I saw her in spite of my wife, the Lilim.
Yes, you know, just the Lilim.
The Lilim.
She doesn't have a name, it's just that.
I saw Lilim kissing another Lilim.
He didn't take out enough syllables to make it not work.
Well, we're going to skip down to Monster Girl pickup lines. Let's just go one at a time here. Like each pickup line. Start with Shell Game, and then Birdman, me, then Kenny, then Dr. A, and then however many we have.
All right, you want me to start?
Yes.
All right, we got some Monster Girl pickup lines here. To a werewolf. May I bury my bone in your backyard?
Oof.
To a dark angel. Did it hurt when you fell from heaven?
No, but it hurt me when you said that line.
To a harpy. Like your eggs scrambled or fertilized.
How did you make that line worse? That's already the worst one.
Ganny?
Oh, yes. To a doppelganger. Pardon me, miss. Have we met somewhere before?
That's not even what?
Because it's you.
I want to fuck my doppelganger. What's the problem? There's no problem.
I hate this podcast for making me ask myself on multiple occasions whether fucking a perfect clone of yourself is different from masturbation.
Okay, to an Ignis, is it hot in here or is it just you?
To a vampire. You may not be shining now, but you'll be positively glowing when I am done with you, blur. Oh.
Makes no sense. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Are vampires known to shine?
Only in twilight, yeah.
Oh, that's sparkling, so it doesn't even work for that.
Maybe the vampire's dying because you're doing it outdoors in the daylight.
Oh, yeah.
You invited all these vampires to an outdoor afternoon barbecue.
Pure centaur. Face down, flank up. That's the way I like to bat.
Next.
To a golem. Hey, baby, I'll fill up your tank any day.
I do not understand that one.
That's a golem.
But...
They love tanks. Okay.
They run on gasoline.
To a witch.
I swear the witch one is just factual.
You've cast a spell on me, and now I'm yours.
This is the line from the song you cast.
That's just from Hocus Pocus.
The sexiest movie of all time.
I think Birdman saw the next one on the list.
I read ahead, I'm sorry.
To a were-sheep. I could just drift away in your eyes.
I'm very confused. These are getting worse.
Are they just like talking to a line of monster girls?
Yeah. One
of
it's like a spelling bee.
This is a one-stop shop for all of your pickup line needs. If you run into any one of these, you're set.
So what are you saying to the weird cat?
Well,
yeah,
well,
go
I'm
on.
Saying to the were cat.
A cat is farting too.
That was a flawless 4chan accent.
I guess you're fuckable.
Hi! A cat is fine too!
Cat is fine.
I'm desirable! Anyway, to a dark slime. Your mouth says no, but your tentacle faces say yes.
That's still the mouth, though. That's where the mouth is. It's on the face.
Not on a dark slime.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm overlooking the morphology.
To a Doulahan. I don't mean to get ahead of myself, but you just make me lose my mind.
Me too. Oh,
God, you botched that so bad.
I mean, I don't know. If John Toast is a Delahan, I think it would work.
So this next one, I'm not gonna tell you what monster I'm hitting on because I think it's very subtle. I want to know if you can pick up on it.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
I hope I'm not ogre stepping my boundaries here, but I'm head ogre heels for you.
Are you flirting with Shrek?
A ghost.
It was a ghost.
Yay!
To a Nekomata, I've got something other than a hairball for you to gag on. If you know what I mean.
My personality.
To a marrow? That's a nice hat. May I have it?
Well, that's just a rude thing to say.
To a jacon no bake. Come on, baby, light my fire.
He just quotes songs at them. So a were-rabbit. I hear you fuck like a rabbit.
Oh, God.
To a werewolf, I hear you fuck like a wolf. To a werecat, I hear you fuck like a cat. To a
no, it's a cat will do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we went over that one. Okay. To a skeleton, has anyone ever told you you look like a supermodel? Ha, get it?
Boo.
Oh, yeah. Man. It's like 1993 all over again.
Mm.
Yeah. To a holstarus or a werewolf, what do you know? I also like to do a cowgirl / doggy style. Not doggy style. Doggy stittle.
Doggy stittle.
It's a lesser known sexual position.
To an undine. Hey, baby. If you dance for me, I'll make it rain.
To a dragon. The only treasure I see in this cave is you.
Nice.
Aww.
That one won my heart.
I mean, it's still shit, but we've been conditioned by all these other lines into thinking it's maybe palatable.
I don't know. If I was a werecat, I think I'd...
Now, I don't think you mean to get ahead of yourself.
Oh.
But I don't mind it. To a ghost!
No, we already did a ghost. If you do it again, it'll be ogre kill.
Oh!
I hate myself.
I love you.
There's no use trying to hide your feelings from me. Semicolon. I can see right through you.
Oh man, these are some good jokes.
Turn the tape over for more spooky sounds.
Relaxing spooky sounds to help you go to bed at night.
To everyone's favorite monster, a Girtabilu. I hear scorpions like to eat their young. That's good, I never really wanted kids.
Ugh.
Yeah. Okay, gross. Also, to an Alice.
Fuck.
If there's a muff, you're old enough.
Shut it down. We're done.
I don't want to go ask her anymore.
Shell game, we got a giant slug.
To a giant slug. Ooh. I like slow girls.
The dumb ones are easy to manipulate. Yay!
Okay, I better stop now before I piss someone off. Now that I've reached the obvious end of the
list. Now that I've talked about cannibalizing children, underage sex, and manipulating unintelligent women, I think I should draw the line in the sand right here. I think we're good. You don't want to hear my B reel or B girl reel. Something something stinger. Stinger, I hardly know her. Can we please fucking move on?
We are. I'm looking for something.
Oh, there's a thread titled, "Remember the arguments over the centaur's genitals?"
There is?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that one.
I am Sierra 116, and my entrance should be preceded by reverent silence. I am a Halo man, and my location is UNSC INF 101 Infinity, which I assume is a Halo place. My gender, believe it or not, is male, and my personal title is MCPO Jason116.
Lesser known book of the Bible.
I feel like there's a Star Wars joke there just waiting to burst out of its cocoon. My favorite monster girls are Lamia types, D Slime, and Succubi. I'm Sierra116. You remember the arguments over the Centaur's genitals?
Do I?
I have never been more amused. I've never been more amused than I have reading over the arguments about where the genitals were on the centaur and related species. For something so seemingly trivial, the level of heat these debates got to never ceased to amaze me.
Please don't say heat.
Heat. These debates got to never ceased to amaze me, especially when it got to the point mods had to shut down any such discussions when they came out.
Damn, that was pretty heated.
We're being, like, teased with a thread that sounds much better than this one. Most especially when KC finally clarified they had two in the front and back. Oh, that was a reaction I wish I could read again. You can!
You
dumb fuck.
I swore an oath.
Now, I should point out that I'm not trying to start anything. There is nothing to start, agreed. Just reminiscing of the days of Zancha and his ilk. The debates when new profiles released, how heated they would get. Heated they would get. And how entertaining they would be and interesting, too.
Just like the ancient Greeks.
It's almost sad that those days are seemingly over. Now that MGE posting privileges have been revoked, and Zancha and others have left the forum. If I could read over those debates of old again, it would make me happy and probably provide me quite a bit of entertainment. I think I'd like reading the thing I liked.
could you tell us what your girlfriend Aisha?
Yeah,
yes,
I've attached in my signature an image of a beautiful girlfriend Aisha, and the picture looks like open image tag looking %20 for %20 better %20 image close image tag war. War never changes. That's my signature. From Halo.
I'm Parenti.
Hey, Parenti, congratulations on your two medals.
Yes. What medals did I get? I can't tell.
I don't know, but you got two of them. Nobody else has any.
MGU Pro Boards, MGU.com.
Yeah, your MGU.com badge is in a font that makes it absolutely impossible to tell what it is without mousing over it for the hypertext.
I've also got 2,302 posts, so, you know, I'm not even staff, I just post a lot, I guess.
And bear in mind, there are only 12,000 forum members, so he's replied to 1 in 6.
I still offer friendly debates myself, there just aren't as many opportunities to have them in general, not just concerning the MGE, getting discussions going on MG material, for instance, is also harder.
What are these acronyms?
Monster Girl
Encyclopedia. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then the other one is Encyclopedia of Monster Girls. Maybe.
And I don't think it's because EMG is less popular, necessarily, than it used to be. People just seem not to want to talk so much about it. They talk about it in hushed whispers. Relative few particular users, those who motivated such discussions are either gone or post less often.
Yeah, that's called being less popular.
I feel like I want to know what happened to them. Did they find a different gross fetish?
There was a bloody schism.
When it comes to forum activity, it often seems to center on a relative few particular users, with most users simply lurking and reading.
A phenomenon unique to our forum.
Check out my newest fanfiction, Wind Riders.
I've been reading it, and it is amazing. I know we're probably not going to read it, but it's a stunning bit of work. Can I also put forward TYC, who only made one post, and it's in this thread?
Go ahead and read that.
A rare beast.
Okay, TYC, one post. This is it. Joined 49 minutes past midnight. This year, he's already done. He said what he needed to say, and it was this. In most depictions, seems like centaurs only have horse genitalia. Basically, that they lack a human pelvis, and thus wouldn't have the human genitalia located there. Has anyone ever seen a case where a centaur does have both a horse pelvis and a human pelvis?
going, keep going.
They would have a horse vagina on the back bottom and a human vagina on the front top.
Have two.
I think that would be pretty cool. Yeah. Then a human could please her on the front by wrapping his legs around her, while a horse could please her form behind.
Wait. Oh.
It would also lead to an interesting possibility of dick girl hermaphrodite, where she has a vagina on the top, but her horse body is male. So my brain's turned off. So she could have sex with a girl horse while using her lower half while having sex with a male human using her upper half.
Now you've just got a straight up horse in the mix.
Or she could get into cute, awkward poses trying to contort her lower half so that her horse dick could reach her human vagina.
Oh, yeah, because that's.
I'm so glad you only made one post.
Now.
This is the mountain I die on.
He just orders the biggest piece of cake, eats it, and just throws it silver on the ground. Please.
Look, most. Most cases of dick girls have that weird one pelvis, and this, remember, is what I think is weird. One pelvis. One pelvis, two sets of genitals approach, where there's a dick in the place of the clit above the vagina. I don't hate it, but it's kind of overdone.
Yeah, that's fair.
The idea of two separate pelvises,
kind of a genital
each
hipster.
Looking traditional is the word I've gone for. Each looking traditional seems a lot more interesting. We need a return to the traditional pelvis.
Tradition.
Horse dick has had enough. I would love to see that on a centaur. Other than this, the only case I can think of with one being two pelvises is with Siamese twins, but usually two heads. You think of them as being two beings, not one, and that's the note I chose to end on.
Yep. Space period.
Amazing.
That's
operatic.
Oh my god.
Casey's centaurs, of course, have front vaginas. And the extra art of the centaur book profile certainly looks like she has a pelvis. Though it should be noted that insetting both vaginas are optimized for
optimized.
Humans, not horses. I wanna watch a girl fuck a horse. As for other depictions, I've read of a few where they have them and seen at least one photo of old wall art type thing that depicted female centaurs with front vaginas.
It's like blurring into nothing. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Front vagina.
Dr. A, you're Logan.
Okay, hello. I am Morgan. I've come from Polandia.
Great. Oh, you have a blog?
Oh, yes. You can view all four of my blogs. And to give another example, in Monster Mizumi, as it could clearly be seen on Centauria, female centaurs have no frontal genitalia, although they do have a human pelvis, which begs the question how the way of the human half is distributed over the horse body. We could use some anatomical models from Okiedo for his monster girls.
This is the same topic as talking about how Godzilla wouldn't be able to exist because his bones would be too light to carry his weight. The horse dick is too heavy for the centaur.
You know, when we started this thread, I was a little bit incredulous that the mods had started, on principle, shutting down any threads with this topic, and I just understand so much now.
And judging by the males and how they have sex, they have a horse vagina, which is not pretty.
Don't listen to her, girl. You're beautiful, just the way you are.
I did a Sierras 116.
Well, actually, can I just quickly read my bottom text thing?
Oh, sure.
There are monster girls preying on single men behind every corner. Marry one, so you don't get harassed every 5 steps.
Fuck you!
So Sierra's 116 pops back in again.
I'm sorry, I was Master Chief in it. I'll leave you to decide what that means. One mustn't forget, however, that it is possible to mate between a human and a centaur. It's not!
That's just science.
It's a fictional beast! Sorry, excuse me. Halo. Which also makes me wonder why Centaurea being half human isn't brought up much. I would have figured that a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why isn't that brought up?
You never bring up fucking centaurs, Dad! And I'm just wondering what's wrong!
What are you hiding? Who is my real mom? Why am I cursed with this horse
dick? Much genitalia did she have?
So I don't want to bring it up. I touch yourself.
I won't have any more of this naysaying.
Boo!
Yay!
Okay. I think there was a topic in here that I felt like we should talk about.
Is it Mario World Monster Girls?
It was.
It is now!
I'm Shadow Nux 392. I've made 650 posts. They're all this long. I have 2 medals. One's a banana. It's some sort of...
It's a feather that looks like a banana.
Oh, okay.
You're a top artist.
Yes, I am the top artist of the forum with no art on it.
I'm a power bottom artist.
And my link is in my footer is a Mario World like no other, which links here. So this is my proudest moment.
Oh my god, you're right, it does link here.
Blooper. Habitat, oceans, and seas.
Okay, cool.
Carnivorous, laid back, persistent, inquisitive. A common denizen of the Mushroom Kingdom oceans, the blooper, is a curious species of creature. With their lithely built body, their slender long limbs, the ring of tentacle is attached to a bell-like skirt that grows from their waist, and an angular cap-like dome over their head, they bring to mind something like a mixture of squid and jellyfish. I think that's what I've described. I'm pretty sure those descriptions match up.
Yep.
Now, her skin is a pale pink color, and her cap and skirt and the tentacles attached are a milky white color.
Don't say milky.
Sinewy black hair billows out from below this pointed cap and across their face, from one inky black eye to the other, are shadowy markings that make a sort of mask over their eyes, adding to their unique appearance. The tentacles attached to their bell skirt, numbering anywhere from 4 to 10, are prehensile, extendable, and fully controlled by the blooper herself, able to lash outward and grasp anything they find interesting enough to pull closer. And this possess more strength in their tentacles than one would expect, though the strength of their actual limbs is average.
Ow.
Wait! Bloopers don't have anything besides tentacles, do they?
So she's Doc Ock?
I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, a laid-back Doc Ock.
I'll kill Spider-Man when I'm ready.
I'll say, you're talking about, like, other things besides tentacles. They do mention legs.
Listen, this is important! Despite their oddities, bloopers are an affectionate species, and men will find themselves wrapped by her tentacles as they make love. Less to ensnare and more to excite. A big part of winning the game is keeping your play partner close, they seem to think, though their grip will slacken upon their own orgasm as the game reaches its end. Afterward, depending on the attraction,
sex during that Michael Douglas?
No, you can only have sex during the credit sequence of Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Afterward, depending on the attraction, a blooper will either shift back to nonchalance.
Done with you.
Well, man, it's fine. Can't we just hang out? In which case, she will float away!
She's like, I've done with you. Goodbye.
My people need me. Goodbye.
No longer considering the man something out of the ordinary and requiring immediate examination, or she will attend her grip once again and insist that they are now a couple. one of two. From that point on, any time the man returns to her waters, she will know and immediately prioritize interacting, particularly playing her favorite game, which I assume is this tentacle fuck. Is it?
You'd think yes. So, but it's actually Borderlands 2.
Just to explain what I've read, the goal of their game is figuring out which spots their current partner likes to have touched, or otherwise discover what arouses them and bring them to full size before they partake of their reward for winning the game and mount their partner.
Oh, God, I'm a blooper.
Just like in Super Mario.
All right, so Hammer Sisters.
Alrighty. Hammer Sister. Habitat, urban areas, camp of fortresses and strongholds.
Guys, I think my Pokedex is glitching out.
Omnivorous. Disposition. Tough. Confident. Moisturous. While the Koopa may be the face of the Koopa trope, the creature most anyone would associate with most of said force, there are several factors that make them less than satisfactory as the main staple of their units.
For instance, their fictional nature.
Their non-aggressive nature and tendency to retire into the life of a housewife after falling in love are the most glaring alongside their less than average offensive capabilities. Their loyalty to their Koopa leader keeps them as the most numerous members of the armies, but the force's backbone is known to be a soldier known as Hammer Sisters.
Yeah, she's really domestic, swinging that giant mallet around. Real homewrecker.
Hammer Sisters, which are sisters in the sense
Thank
of a
you.
Sisterhood. Not all are biological siblings.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Koopas.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Shell. Are Koopas that resided in more Bowser-aligned territory.
As in Yowza Bow.
And took towards training and learning the abilities that allow them to properly serve the Koopa troop. Taller and more burly compared to a regular Koopa, a Hammer Sister retains the broad shell that covers their body and adds a smaller version to their head as a helmet, only allowing small amounts of their darker shades of hair to poke out. You know, they're brunettes, so they're really deep. Their limbs are longer and more muscular compared to the lean frame of a Koopa due to all their work, and their shell is higher grade than a Koopa or a paratroopa's, and thus are incapable of being removed by anything other than the Hammer Sisters' own will. Whether due to their flattery or some other factor, a Hammer Sister that has bedded a man will happily mount him on the bed and plunge herself onto him, riding him with all the passion and force one would expect given her personality and musculature.
It sounds very sexual, but it's just Yoshi.
They're often so hungry for sex that they'll milk several sessions from a man each time, and with just as much force and strength each time, all while letting the man know in very direct terms how much and what specifically she's enjoying about the act. Of course...
Oh, milk me.
Of course, due to their exuberance, many replacement beds get built by Hammer Sisters in their spare time. Most relationships with Hammer Sisters are casual, but within...
So Hammer Sisters are Luke Cage?
But within those that go further up to marriage...
And beyond.
A Hammer Sister will remain loyal to her work and her training and often spends time away from home on her projects. After working up a sweat building and working, they will return home and work up a different, more enjoyable sweat with her husband. Oftentimes, to make up in part for them being away, a hammer sister will build trinkets in their spare time and breaks to give to their loved one. While
like
the
a
romantic
bed.
Nature... yeah, lots of beds. While the romantic nature of the gifts can be dubious at times, one can see the effort and affection put into the object even more so than is put into their normal work.
Okay, so it's like a macaroni picture of a bed.
Edited one time in total.
I'll get you about Pokey. Their habitat is deserts. Their diet is omnivorous. Can also use photosynthesis. And the Pokey's disposition is cheerful and kooky.
Like a cactus.
Oh, great.
Yeah, the wackiest of plants. A native of the deserts of the Mushroom Kingdom, the Pokey is a kind of living cactus that pretends to be nothing more than a bit of normal plant life until something strikes their fancy. Whereupon, they will spring to life and wobble and hobble their way towards it until it catches them or otherwise gets distracted.
Show me that sexy hobble.
Their skin is a shade of yellow, though more cactus-like green varieties have been spotted, rough and covered with small, barely visible bumps from where their spines are housed. Their eyes are white and pupils are small, making their gaze almost seem somewhat stark and almost manic. And their hair is a short mess of sandy blonde. Their limbs are long and rounded, and their entire body, most strikingly, appears to be segmented. Semicolon, where there would normally be a joint or on a more conventional body. Dude, can't tell me that you know what a conventional body looks like. Such as the elbows and knees, their body curves and rounds out, connecting just barely to the next piece of their body, such as their lower leg, their hand, even their head is only tenuously attached to the neck.
I'm going to need at least one diagram that kind of maps this out, because I've...
Pokies don't have arms or legs.
Sexy ones do.
Yeah.
Pokies can be sexy without arms and legs.
They have an arm for every needle.
Another tactic for restricting their designated victim is her spines.
As
a cactus, the minuscule bumps on her skin hold a spine, and they are retractable and extendable. Ugh. Controlled by the Pokey. If she is close enough and her target is still reluctant, she can and will extend her spines out in such a way that her victim is surrounded by extended needles, essentially locked in place for fear of becoming a pincushion.
What could be more sexy?
Though rare is the actual usage of the spines to actually prick someone. It's primarily an intimidation technique. Oh yay, it's just threatening violence. once within a Pokey's grasp, man or woman, the Pokey is likely to have fun with her captured prey. Pokies are known for another facet of their body that's rough in texture and slightly bumpy. Their vagina!
I didn't see it coming!
A woman who is being grinded against, or a man who has been mounted, finds themselves being rubbed in ways that they are unlikely to feel from any other kind of creature. Something that Pokies take obvious pride in. Dr. A, could you read Fanto?
Fanto.
It's on page 4. There you go.
Let's see. Fanto.
While we're waiting, I would just like to tell everybody that Shy Gal is childlike,
no.
Timid, and secretive.
Get out of here, author of Wild Animus.
Oh, I see. It's underneath Shy Gal, right?
Yep.
So, Fanto, its habitat is subcon in treasure rooms. It doesn't eat anything. And it is possessive, vindictive, and vengeful. Ooh.
I should say, I don't know if we elaborated, but these are all elaborate posts by ShadowNux372.
Yeah.
These are not separate people. These are his, like, His work.
This is magnum opus.
This is what he's known for, and the people on this forum, like, love him.
They love him. There's a post in response to this that says, starts off, you know what? I rather like her.
So, a rarely seen spirit native to the realms of Subcon, the Phanto can occasionally be seen in rare locations of the Mushroom Kingdom, always guarding an important treasure of some kind. When lying dormant and in wait, a Phanto will be seen as nothing more than a mask of two colors, split down the middle, with a wickedly evil grin gazing down at a certain object within their territory. The Phanto appears to be a mask possessed by a spirit of, ironically, possessiveness, and as such, all Phantos are locked into a certain item that they guard aggressively, and their dormant mask will always have their blank eye on that item, waiting for the unsuspecting adventurer or treasure hunter to come by and take the items before them.
This isn't a monster girl, that's just a Phanto.
This innocuous appearance they take leads many to assume that they are simply decoration and do not understand their true nature until it's too late.
Oh, it's going somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I hope it's got a vagina in it. I bet it will.
That's gonna go on your tombstone.
I'm not a gambling woman, but
The moment their treasure has been disrupted and seized, the Phanto will spring to life, the eyes of the mask gleaming with a red, malevolent energy, as a pitch-black, ethereal mist forms beneath the mask, taking the form of a humanoid shape.
Yeah!
Decidedly feminine.
There it is!
Keep it coming.
Put your junk in that mist.
If one is able to get a good enough look at them before she strikes at them. Their spiritual form is lithely built with a flat, even figure, and almost lanky with their long arms, which even seem to extend slightly to the grasp at their target of their aggression. So long as her favored possession remains in the grasp of the trespasser, the Phanto will relentlessly pursue the thief until they either drop the item, whereupon she will snatch it up and return it to its rightful place and return to her dormancy, or until she seizes the thief and pries the objects out of their fingers by force. Due to their spiritual, ethereal nature, they can pursue their victims through any solid material and across any length of distance from to the retrieve object.
Nerf.
How does it fuck?
Like mist.
Although primarily a danger to thieves and adventurers with sticky fingers, there are a few cases of Phantos who have imprinted on a man they've caught with their treasures. While pinning the man and prying the treasure from him, they sought something else from him as a type of retribution and forced themselves on the man.
There it is.
Phantos that do this imprint their same sense of possession and protectiveness to the man they violate, and afterwards he is seen as another of her treasures. And to make sure she doesn't lose him, she will follow him always, either by putting him in possession of her mask or simply reappearing in his possession after every attempt to rid himself or her of her. In this case, much like when they will never give up on a chase until they have their treasure returned to them, a man who has been marked by a Phanto will find that he will never be truly detached from her.
Yay. Ganymede, I actually wanted to give you a choice.
Oh yes!
Oh, man.
You could either read about Goombas.
Okay. Kind of vanilla.
Or you could read about Lakitu.
All right. Your inflection makes me feel like there's a third option.
Or you can read about cheat cheeps.
I gotta go with giving it to a fish. Let me find that, though.
Do you need a link?
Yeah, I'm leafing furiously through the pages of this compendium full of fictional animals I can bone. All right, all right, all right. It's your boy, ShadowNux372. Your most definite boy. No way in hell does this poster not have a penis. And I'm here to tell you about Cheep Cheep, whose habitats are, again, oceans and seas. and lakes. They are omnivorous, and their disposition is spunky, playful, and carefree.
Yay!
So this will be great. This will just be a fun romp. Let me just jump right to this line that says, "Above the waist, the Cheep Cheep is a small, youthful creature akin to a child in their appearance and body style, with little curves, short limbs, and a flat chest and body."
Oh, dear.
Okay. Cheep Cheeps are known for being quick swimmers when they need to chase after or run away from something.
Oh, thank God.
The petite frame serving to decrease resistance under the water. Cheep Cheeps have a playful and inquisitive streak a mile long, much like the blooper, but their motivations are much more discernible than those of the quirky squid-like creature. In addition, a Cheep Cheep's conditions for having their interest caught are more discriminating than a blooper, and they will not often go chasing after an inanimate object that just happened to sparkle in the corner of their eye.
Yeah, Cheep Cheeps have fucking standards.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite their name, they ain't Cheep Cheep.
Oh. I'm so glad I have competition for worst joke of this episode.
go one more.
Oh, I'm getting a flashback here. Most of the time when the object of their interest is another undersea creature, this often just consists of undersea races or contests to see who can leap higher out of the water and the like. If her target is a man, however, more often than not, the quote-unquote game is sex.
Oh!
Hold on. Are you guys telling me that everything we've been reading has been somehow sexual in nature?
No.
Not everything.
No, sweetie. It's fine.
This Nintendo game makes me have sex!
One of them was just about not stealing bandit treasure, which I thought was a good message. Maybe I misunderstood
very
it.
Very morally sound. Although childlike in their form, Cheep Cheeps are well attuned to the desires of their body and their attractions towards men, so they make no qualms about chasing after one to accost him or otherwise initiate intercourse with them.
So childlike.
So let your conscience be unburdened.
It's as childlike as the orphan.
Once properly attracted to one, their tiny body will latch onto the man with surprising grip, strangling him to death. Oh no, it doesn't say that. that was just wishful. And their playful thrashings, flopping like a fish out of water, will stroke and please the man's organ in ways unlike any other. Which is why the most complimentary sexual metaphor is a wet fish. And please the man's organ in ways unlike any other, and their energetic ministrations will quickly bear fruit. As Cheep Cheeps are not often quick to establish a relationship of husband and wife, because they're fucking children, one must take caution if accosted by one. Cheep Cheeps travel in schools of upwards of 10 members, and if one does not attach herself to the man, she will likely call the other members towards them so as to share in the fun that can be had, further exhausting her newest playmate. So energetic and quick is the Cheep Cheep that even the vast ocean itself cannot contain them, and Cheep Cheeps have developed a game and pastime of swimming at top speeds underneath the waves, then quickly turning upwards with no loss in speed to jettison themselves out of the water and into the air. Because...
It's these bits of canon that really bring me back into it.
Yeah, I wish I saw Super Mario Brothers with the same sense of wonderment this person has, but minus some elements of their perspective.
I wonder what they have to say. I wonder what Shadow Nooks has to say about the dolphins from Super Mario.
I kind of wanted to read the Bob-on ones, because, like, there's just this unspoken acknowledgement that the girl's gonna die at the end of whatever. Like...
It's like having sex with a bee.
Mm-hmm, yeah. With the stinger of a bee. Ugh, God, I'm sure that's on this site too. Because of their speed, they can reach great aerial heights and distances. Although this was most likely originally conceived as a way of alleviating boredom in the Cheep Cheep's lives, this has also served as another viable and functional technique to surprise and catch a man. The Cheep Cheep will spy a passerby on an elevated platform, such as a bridge, and aim herself so that when she flies through the air, he is directly in her path, seizing him in a full body hug that will likely dislodge him from his position and send him into the water with her, where she will insist that since she caught him, he should play a game with her.
Jigsaw, no!
A lot of the reactions in the thread we've skipped over and just read the profiles, but the reactions are incredible if you want to read a few.
Sure.
I'm Krenesh. Whoa, I really want to be caught by a cheap, cheap school, or that one of them jump right towards me, tossing me from a bridge to the water. And one more thing, they are playful, and that's a major point for me. I really love her profile, dude. My vision is for the good of everyone, mostly me. He's a picture of a dragon. And my entire spoilered section of my signature seems to refer to Dragonite and Pokemon. Yeah. I'm the Planeswalker.
I'm Flash Grenade Zero.
Yeah.
I'm Shadow the Hedgehog.
Again.
So then, the Cheep Cheep seems pretty nice overall from the lolly standpoint. Go to jail. Go to jail, you fuckface. Anyway, however, I'm sort of put off by how pushy the profile implies them to be once they notice a guy. Secondly, the Hammer Sisters. Now these are what I've been waiting for. Strong, assertive, and they even do catcalls toward guys while on the job. That's just pure win.
So, this guy's complaint is that the childlike figure is not vulnerable enough.
Yes.
I'm also Flash Grenade Zero at Thwomps. Who boy the Thwomps? Where do you even frickin' begin? I love rough lovers. That about explains it for a start. That, and it's refreshing to hear how they're lordy to someone who only sees them as what they were hired for, instead of girls, to be respected, is quite low. However, since they are made of stone, then yeah, escape is impossible! Meaningless.
Sorry I'm late with this comment, but since I'm here now, let's do this. Blooper. Gotta admit, I like the game that they play and the look they have is especially nice to see. Plus, the idea of being in a loving embrace by Blooper's tentacles is very nice. Cheep Cheep. More in a check than I thought she was gonna be. While she's a bit pushy, I could get past that and actually like her a bit, though the lolly thing does throw me off a bit.
There's hope for you yet.
And Hammer Sister, I'll echo what Flash had said. I love the assertive type, and the Hammer Sisters don't disappoint. Hardworking, strong, and uses catcalls a guy while on the job. And oh, you better believe I would be calling back at them. And rough in the sack. Love her nux.
Man, I love her nux. She's
got nux for days.
If you may recall, the shy gal that I described as childlike, timid, and secretive, well, Shadowblade X has something to say about her. Too damn cute indeed. My word, the shy gal is just lovely. She loves playing pranks, and trust me, I love a good prank here and there. She's timid, which just hits another fetish of mine. Love timid girls. Ah! And their demeanor before, during, and after the act of intimacy makes me want to hug her even more. She may try and scramble for her mask and robes after we're done, but she's not gonna do it while I'm around. I'll keep her close to me at all times, till she stops being shy about her body.
What did we learn?
I want to apologize first for sighing more in this episode than in any other episode. Also, enormous congratulations to my good friend who has been somehow sitting next to me and playing Pokemon through the entire duration of listening to us read about this. I don't know if I would have been able to stomach that necessarily. As far as what I learned, for one thing, the morphology is just wrong, and I mean, that seems obvious, but what I mean is that even within the fiction, like, if we try to give these people as much credit as possible, which is still a negligible amount, and really read into what they've established here, it doesn't make any fucking sense. They clearly have, like, very little idea what they're describing. Even the really graphic and lengthy descriptions, like the Pokey or the whole Centaur genitalia conflict, just paint these abstract images that do not equal a complete creature. And it's like they're so desperate to put their horniness into text that the logistics fall completely by the wayside. And I do like that.
Are you saying these nerds might not have actual in real life experience with sex?
I'm saying these people are morally reprehensible like, who is the real monster, I guess, is the question I ask.
Who are the real monster girls?
I know I'm taking up a lot of time, but this is kind of close to my heart in a weird, stupid way, because when I first heard about this concept, I was optimistic. I was much younger than I am now, and I was like, cool, there's a whole fiction about various categories of women that are discredited, ostracized, and demonized by society on the basis of what they are on an inherent level. I can empathize with that to a degree, and surely in this world created to tell stories about them, they're treated a lot better than I am for some of those same reasons. And actually, no, it's just a fictional field for them to be like 300% more horrible. So, you know, that's...
How did you make it to that assumption?
I don't know. I really can't explain where I was coming from on that. It's
Ganny has too much hope.
I do. I am ever the optimist, and I think, like a lot of people that both participate and are into our show, you know, there were some foibles and missteps before I finally fell into a niche that I consider reasonable on the internet. And yeah, for a while I thought that would be fucking an octopus. So that's me.
Well, I learned you can closely identify with Knuckles the Echidna and still make a name for yourself on the internet describing Mario characters in a sexual way.
Now, in the fiction, I'm going to assume that that was the actual Knuckles.
Canon. It's canon now. I learned that, guys like the Fat Man 2005 from the night before Fuckmas, there's a load of people responding to that thread going, oh, this is so funny.
Somebody called him clever.
I've showed this to everyone.
Yep, they love
you know,
it.
It's really clever and witty. And it showed me that it changes more than just, like, you know, everyone's born with fetishes or whatever, I guess, or some people. And I guess wanting to fuck a Pokemon is sort of morally forget. You still get into heaven. But I think...
Arceus said it was okay.
Arceus loves us all.
It changes so much other stuff as well, because they read The Night Before Fuckmas and go, this is the height of humor. This is the only thing that's ever really spoken to me. And it's insane, the stuff that they relate to on a personal level. All the people responding to that thread going, you know, these descriptions are great, but also the non-sexual ones are really moving me. I can really imagine myself marrying these monsters. And nobody can. There's a difference between jerking off to weird stuff and this. And this is next level. They're a different type of perv.
I learned that there's a large crossover between waifus and this, which seems strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are people who think that Japan hasn't had the idea yet. The first people we read going, I hope Japan does something about waifus.
I mean, this was kind of a weird cocktail of things that we've already encountered. There were definitely some perspectives that seemed to sync up with men's rights activists and incels and... It really is just like the culmination point for the worst that we've encountered so far.
Okay. Did you learn anything, Dr. A?
I learned that people are disgusting, but I already knew that.
You learned they're more disgusting.
I also learned that it's unlimited, man. It really goes on, and that Knuckle fella really puts the unlimited in Monster Girls. He's churning it out.
Oh, God, I didn't like that phrasing. Okay, if you want more episodes from us, head on over to THEFMN.
Nope.
THEFMIN. THEFMIN.us. There you'll find the cover art, links to our Twitter and stuff, and our donations page and stuff. Also, we have a Patreon. That's patreon.com/extracredit.
Buy me a mic.
Yeah,
please, please, God.
and then at this point, I should probably look up who are our $10 a month people. So, like,
and if you want to fuck a Goomba, come on down to Ball Pit. BALP.IT.
That's BALP.IT. Make sure you tag Lemon.
Bye.
Was that a goodbye?
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I get it. Bye. She gave a monster goodbye.
Rawr, rawr, rawr.
Also, I think Mythos just gave us the name for this episode. Real Neck Beards.
Thank you, Mythos. That boy is a monster.